3, 2, 1, go.
Welcome to The Fundamental Athlete. I'm your host, Declan Bretz. This show's for any athlete who feels trapped into any mental health stigmas. We feature coaches and players to talk through some of the mental health challenges athletes face. Here we create a safe space to talk through mental challenges that exist and offer insight on how it gets better. It's okay to not be okay. Let's talk about it. Welcome, everybody, to the Fundamental Athlete Podcast here, episode 1, where we will be talking about mindful tactics before games. We got a special guest today, Trevor Rico. How you doing today?
Doing pretty good, Declan. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How's your mom?
My mom is good. She is a basketball coach for everybody who doesn't know at the University of Michigan. So it's going to be a very interesting topic to talk about, you know, mindfulness before games, because as much as I know that I deal with it, I know all of her players deal with it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Who was that player your mom had last year?
Naz Hillman.
Yeah, no, she was a stud.
Yeah, she's in the WNBA right now, so she's a superstar.
Oh, what team?
The Hawks. The Dream, the Atlanta Dream.
Okay, yeah. Nice.
Atlanta Dream for the girls, so, yeah.
Okay. So why don't we get started? So, you know, what does mindfulness mean to you as an athlete?
Oh, my gosh. It means so much, because as much as I know, being an athlete is a lot of physical, you know, aspects to it. It has just as much as, if not more, mental aspects to it. So I think, you know, being mindful, being present and in the moment is extremely important.
For me, like, mindfulness, like, it's more than just necessarily, like, your mental health. A lot of mindfulness, I feel like, is the messaging that you put into your head, whether you're consuming media or self-talk. What are some of the ways that you like to make sure that, like, your mindfulness is kind of, you know, positive?
Yeah, you know, it can be hard sometimes, especially when things aren't going your way. But I think a way to keep mindfulness positive is focusing on all the good aspects of, you know, being an athlete. Being grateful, I think, is a great way to stay mindful. Just reminding myself that not everybody has the opportunity to go out there and play. The fact that I'm out there by choice, I don't have to be. And I might as well enjoy myself and have fun, do the best that I can.
You know, me and Enrico were both part of the Emerson basketball team here. And our head coach, Bill Curley, he's a very big messenger in terms of doing your part as a team. And I feel like as a team sometimes, like it's up to us, it's like our accountability to make sure that as a team, all different players like us, we're making sure that we're all on the right track. You know, I feel like sometimes, you know, we're all going to have those days where, like, you don't feel like doing shit. Like, your body hurts, Curly's telling you to run up the stairs, like, yeah, all this kind of shit. But at the same time, I know for me, like, one of the things that really helps me with being mindful is knowing that my teammates always have my back. Yeah. Anytime I make a good play, like, someone saying, hey, like, nice pass, hey, yeah, nice shot, hey, you'll get him next time. You're one of the biggest supporters of me with that, and you really help me out with that sort of stuff. So, going off that, what does the mental preparation kind of look like, which is different than your physical? Because the physical, you know, you're lifting weights, you're getting your shots up, but the mental aspect is just as important.
Yeah, I think first off, just to go off of what you were saying, being in a team sport, it's so interesting because, you know, that success, having success together with the team and sharing that, there's nothing better. Also, you know, a lot of times you're sharing defeat, like worst parts of your day, worst parts of your week.
WPI, yeah, NUMAC.
Losing a lot of important games. You know, you're losing it as a team. Or, you know, if you're running upstairs or exhausted in practice, think you're going through hell, you're not going through it alone, and that almost makes it not nearly as bad. And, you know, you're getting stronger from it because you're doing it with your team. But to kind of shift to what you were asking about mental preparation, I've experimented with a lot of different things. I've done meditations before games.
What kind of meditation? What does that look like for
I look
you?
Some stuff up on YouTube.
Like breathing work? Or
yeah, or just like, in general, with kind of, I know we're talking about sports specifically, but like sports and beyond, Tony Robbins is somebody who's helped me a lot with, like, you know, being in the moment and like dealing with like anxiety and worry. So like kind of like listening to him and doing my best to stay in the moment. Prayer, Catholic, I like go try to go to church.
Faithful.
pray before the night before every game and like in the locker room before every game. And I think that just kind of sets my, having a routine like that mentally kind of gets you prepared.
Oh, for sure. Routine's everything. I think routine's such a general term for athletes, whether it's your mental preparation or it's your physical preparation or it's like you trying to figure out what needs to get done. Like you, I like how you said about the team, because at the end of the day, like, so many people like are going to see what you do out there and judge you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you might go out there and miss three shots. Yeah. And people might say, oh, number five can't shoot. Oh, number five can't shoot. They don't know that you worked 6 months, right, you know, prior 6 months of you every single day. Like, it's a very small percentage.
Right.
So it's part of the aspect of the team where, like, yes, there is individual mindfulness, but at the same time, there's definitely a very big team aspect of mindfulness. How does faith... You mentioned faith. I want to kind of go back to that. How does faith kind of play into, like, your own personal mindfulness?
I just think it's a way to, like, think big picture. Like, when I pray before a game, like, I pray, do the same kind of prayer every time. But, like, a big portion of it is, like, realizing, like, allow me to go out there and, like, be in the moment and have fun and realize that this is, like, as much as it's obviously very important for me and the team, but it's, like, a small blip on the big scale. But to just kind of go out there, play free.
Realize that, like, sports isn't everything.
Enjoy the moment. Yeah, but, like, to also be present with it. To not, you know, consumed with either, like, worry or, you know, getting caught up in if you're having a good game or bad game. Like, trying to stay even-keeled, you know. Like,
Use it for your benefit.
Don't get too high. Don't get too low.
Realize that you're doing this for, like, a bigger purpose.
Yeah, and, yeah, that's a big part of, like, why I... Like, pray. I also pray to, like, keep me safe. I've had injuries.
That's easier said than done, though, kind of keeping it even, you know, because especially...
It's hard. It's very,
I mean,
very difficult.
God, you look at professional sports. I mean, like, it's such a pressurized environment. And even nowadays where, like, you're seeing, like, the internet has changed everything. Like,
yeah,
nowadays,
no, for sure.
Nowadays, you can find anyone's tape. You can find...
Anybody's stats.
Like, it's all very public.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, when you put your... best foot forward sometimes, or your worst foot forward sometimes, like, it kind of eats at you sometimes, because you know it's always accessible. But really trying to make sure that you're not defined by your athletic performance, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're a person outside of it. I like how you said, like, you're trying to keep basketball as a thing for yourself, as an enjoyment for yourself, as something that you know that you've worked hard for, that you know that you've put the work in, that you deserve to be there. So I kind of like what you were saying there.
Yeah, something my mom always has told me, because I've been a guy on a team who's had to, you know, score a lot of points, shoot the ball a lot, and I've been a guy who's had to, like, do other things as well, and it's, like, the biggest message my mom gave me, control what you can control. So, like, obviously you want to go out there and make shots, you want to go out there and, you know, make all these great plays, but sometimes you don't have control over that, sometimes it's not going your way, but you can always control, like, what kind of teammate you're being, you can always control how hard you're working, and you can always control, you know, doing what the coaches want you to do. So that's what I've been, that's always kind of a saving grace for me, is at the end of the day, I am in control of the most important aspects. So that kind of helps me mentally. Everything else is a bonus. If I have shoot the ball great, you know, obviously I'm going to feel good. I'm human. But at the same time, that's not what makes me or anybody a great player. Well, you know, if you control the controllables, then you'll be set.
I think in your situation, you have a very interesting situation where you kind of have two coaches, if that makes sense. Like, you have your coaches here at Emerson, but at the same time, your mom is also the head coach of a very successful program as Michigan. So when it comes to your mom, is there an even role you want from her? Like, sometimes you want her to be your coach, but sometimes you want her to be your mom. Like, how does that dynamic
work? It's funny. You would think that I would be able to answer that. She would be able to answer that great
better.
Because she has done such a great job of distinguishing between, like, when to be what. And I think high school was probably the age where she completely was like, you know, your coach first. So that's your coach. Your coach tells you to do something, that's what you do. So it's not like, you know, shit talking, like anybody, or anything like that. It's if anything, she has more of a understanding of what coaches go through. So she reminds me of, like, what
she kind of gives
you
that dual perspective a little
bit. Exactly. So, like, you know, if the team's like, man, shit, like, we're practicing doing this, or that, and my mom's like, well, this is why coach did it. But, you know, it goes both ways. Like, she, But she toes that line really, really well, and she's gotten better at it, you know, every single year. And I think that's what makes me so lucky, that I have somebody like that who I can talk to, who will let me vent when I need to vent, who will tell me some stuff maybe I don't want to hear when I need to hear it too. So she has been done a great job of helping me throughout, throughout my career, for sure.
Shout out to Mama Rico, because I can't even imagine. That's probably itself is a hard line.
True. And I also want to acknowledge too, my dad has been a coach his whole life too. So not basketball, but he's also somebody who gives me, you know, he's not a Michigan.
He was a football running back though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a Division I football player.
Exactly. So that's a player perspective too.
Yeah, and they're so different. It's so funny. My mom and my dad. Yeah, I got two parents for sure. I'm very, very lucky, and I'm very grateful for both of them. So
I know for me, like my parents, they're not coaches by any means. My dad was a collegiate diver. It's a little different.
That count. That's an athlete
It's a little different. He's an athlete. He's definitely an athlete.
That takes a lot of skill.
He didn't pick up diving until like junior year. He was just so naturally gifted at it. Yeah. Where it came like 2 years in, he kind of was able to. He played for one year.
Yeah.
But me and him always have a lot of conversations about like pressure, because there's. Yeah. I mean, diving is a great example of it. It's like everyone like they wait you walk up the ladder. And you know that no matter what's going to happen, like, all these set of eyes are going to watch you, and they're not saying anything. Like, it's not basketball where there's cheering or cheerleaders. Yeah, yeah. It is dead silent.
Dead silent. That's
dead,
crazy.
Dead silent. And you might go out there, and he's told me stories where he just jumps and just, you know, completely screws up a twist or something, and then belly flops.
Oh.
50 feet. Belly flops. Everyone, and you just hear, ooh.
Oh, that's horrible.
And you just got to get up.
Yeah.
Red stomach.
Yep.
Like, you just walk. You're just walking up.
Oh, that's terrible.
Looking around. You got your goggles. You're all discombobulated. Like, yeah. I can't even, like, it's a lot, man. It's a lot, but shout out parents, man. They do the most.
I think it's interesting, too, because, like, yeah, I have, like, two parents who are, like, coaches and everything, but just mentioning like the grass is like
always greener.
So it's funny. Sometimes there are times, man, like I just wish I had a parent to be like, you did great today.
And like,
you're not telling me how I lit up the defensive possession. Yeah,
right. Like they don't know enough.
But it's like, obviously I'm so like happy, but you know, everybody's parents I think can help, because sports, I always say like sports are like life, man. You have good days, you got bad days, but you get to wake up and do it again. So having parents there, whether they're coaches or whether they were athletes or not, to kind of be there for you is a great thing.
Well, one of the most important aspects of this all, team, right? Going off that, what does it mean to you to be part of the team necessarily? Like, that in itself is a very mindful task, to be willing to sacrifice, to be willing to put the work in, to be willing, you know, sometimes it might not go your way. What, in your experience, like, I know sometimes, like, what helps me is know that I'm always sacrificing for something more, or I'm being part of something for something more. It's less about like the sport itself. It's more about bonding with this group of guys, 17 guys, whatever the case may be, going for a certain goal where you're going to have good days and bad days, but you show up every single day with the day of purpose. What kind of experiences do you have with that?
You know, it's funny. In high school, I played football, and the team I was like, I love playing football just because all my friends played football.
Oh, yeah.
And we were so close
and
as friends. Yeah, but it wasn't as much like on the field where we were, that positivity and all that, this stuff that we have here. On the flip side, in my high school basketball team, I wasn't super good friends with a lot of them off the court. Great guys, we just didn't hang out. But on the court, it was like very much talkative and everything. And then when I came here, it was like that perfect balance.
Oh, yeah.
Of where I've got all my like some of the best friends I've ever made on this basketball team. But with that being said, when we're on the court, like, we get to work, and we are there for each other. We, you know, pick each other up. We give each other hell when we need to and shake it off. And, you know, even if the other teammate doesn't want to hear it, we hold each other accountable. And being part of a team is one of the most, whether you're the best player playing 40 minutes or somebody who is young and just hasn't got that opportunity yet, every single person on a team, like at least like the one that I'm on, I know is valued and is needed. And just having that in your head is something that's truly special. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, going off of championship teams, shout out Indeed. Dynasties know that every player counts. To build a championship team with a deep bench, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed, suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. Hate waiting? Indeed's U.S. data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. Something I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed helps you see your top talent's abilities in a flash by adding any of the 135 graded assessment tests to your job post. Indeed knows when you're growing your business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why with Indeed, you only pay for quality applications that match your must-have job requirements. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/Maxwell to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/Maxwell. Indeed.com/Maxwell. Terms and conditions apply. So moving on, what does like your mindfulness warm-up look like? Like, do you ever do something before a game? Like, you kind of talked about how you pray before each game, but do you ever, like, you know, we have 90 minutes to warm up for our games, which I think is egregious. Like, that's just too much.
That's
so much time for me. Something that I like to do is I like to spend the first 20 minutes kind of doing nothing. Like, I won't even stretch to, like, the 70-minute mark. To kind of do is, like, I kind of like to sit in there. I'll take a ball. I'll dribble around a little bit, like, just sit in there, do my legs, stuff like that. And I kind of think about, like, what am I doing this for? Right, I think about my parents. It's not necessarily like I'm not doing it just for my parents, but I think about how my mom and my dad have all supported me, and knowing that no matter what the outcome is, like, I'm doing this for my own enjoyment. And that's something that my mom is always preaching to me, is like, do this for yourself. Basketball is supposed to be something that is a way for you to express yourself and be happy. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything like that other than just prayer?
To be completely honest, I think a lot of that thinking and all of that happens before that 90 minutes start. I'm somebody where that mental kind of getting locked in mentally will come from having a routine, like, physically.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So what do you think in yourself then? If you have, like, kind of, if, you know, sometimes that physical preparation could also be mental at the same time. Like, you might feel better if, like, all right, if I can get these 10 threes in from every spot before the game, like, mm-hmm. I feel mentally. Yeah. It's different.
100%.
Yes, it's physical, but at the same time, it's very much like, I got my shots up, like, I know.
You have to trick your mind. So that's something, and I'm sure, you know, players can attest to thinking about this. At least for me, anything before a game mentally has to be just, you have to feel good. You have to feel good about your shot. And it doesn't matter how many you make or how many you miss, you got to trick your mind. So if you're shooting in warm-ups before a game and you're shooting, like, terribly, the mindset I give myself is, I'm getting them all out the way. I'm getting all these misses out the way now. By the time I get into the game, you know, there's no way I'm going to keep this up. I'm too good a shooter to be missing this many, so I'm just saving it up for the game.
Bullshit!
And that might be bullshit.
No, but you have to
tell yourself that to feel good. Now, if you're shooting the shit out of it in warm-ups, you know.
Do you get superstitious? You're like, oh, shit.
Almost a little bit. But so I won't shoot as much, though. Like, if I'm shooting the shit out of it, then I'll, like, you know, take some layups or chill out and just be like, it feels good, you know?
Right.
So you have to make it a win-win scenario. So there's definitely a mental aspect to that. There's a mental aspect, too, I think, with, like, your body feeling good. So that's why I roll out, I stretch, I do all of this. Like, I if I didn't do any of that, it would probably mess with me mentally a little bit, because I wouldn't feel like I'm out there warmed up, like, ready to go. So I think there's definitely a connection between, like, the physical and mental.
I also feel like game days in general, regardless of, like, how the outcome, like, goes, they help. It's easier than practice. For some guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously different situations, but it's like you get a really nice deep stretch.
Yes.
It's a fun day.
You
know you have a game. Like, there's certain aspects of it where it's very easy to kind of, like, appreciate what's happening, too. Bad games, and bad games will affect later, but, like, there's aspects of just having a game that, like, really cheer me up. And, like, they're much needed, because when you're in practice every single day, it's always this, that. Like, it's very, like, routine. It's very structured.
Yep.
Games are very free going. Like, at the end of the day, like, you can't control all the time what's going to happen in games. So sometimes, like, even having just a game in itself, like, it helps. It helps. Like, you realize, all right, like, this is what I'm doing for.
The other thing is, too, like, our practices, at least, are so competitive and so hard. I don't mean, like, just hard physically. I just mean, like, we go hard.
Oh, yeah. So hard.
So by the time we get to the games, it's almost like, all right, like, this is fun. Just go out there and have fun, you know. And it's easier said than done. Like, there are times, obviously, there's more pressure in a game, and obviously, you know, you're going to be thinking about things more when it counts and you're playing on other teams. But definitely agree with that to an extent, for sure, that by the time you get to the game, it's much more relaxing in the sense.
Very yeah.
In the sense that, you know, you're not out there doing drills. You're out there just playing free.
At least for us, too, because we are D3. It's not like we don't have people watching us, but it's not like we're in these big arenas in front of these thousands of people.
Right.
Like it very much feels like, you know, when you have home games, there's the 60 people that want to come watch you play.
Yeah.
Much like a very close environment.
Someone said to me one time on a recruiting visit when I was in high school, when I went to visit a college, and one of the players for that college told me, and I'll never forget it, it was when you're in high school basketball, when you're in high school, you play for your community.
Yeah.
You play for all the baseball squad, the soccer team, all the parents.
Yes,
yes. At least if you're from like a small town in Michigan like I am. So like they're all coming to support, and then you're playing, you're getting the crowd pumped up. And then in college, you might still have a crowd, but it's a different feel. You're playing, this is what the kid said, in high school you're playing for your community, in college you're playing for each other. Like, it's your choice to be there.
I like
you're playing
because
you love the game. You like that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But
Who told you that?
Forget it. Some kid, I think it was at Case Western. That was just school.
Shout out to recruiting visits, whether you go there or not. Like, it's
eye-opening experience.
Experience. And it's a good way for, like, us athletes to kind of, like, educate the high school athletes, too. Like, our team, like, we do a very good job where it's like, all right, yeah, you might not be coming to the school, but I know you're thinking about coming to school, and if you do come to this, here's what we've learned. And, like, that's always, like, a very big thing to make sure that you're always passing down information without withholding it.
And that's
true
when you end up going to the school, too. Like, if I didn't have as great upperclassmen teammates as I do, it would be a lot harder as an athlete.
So
but, you know, once I got here, we had, you know, guys on our team, you know, helped us mentally to prepare. Because it's not easy. I don't care if it's Division III, Division II.
Not easy. Nowhere
and we're not
easy.
Getting, you know, we're paying to come here. You know, we're not getting 50,000 people coming to our games. But we're putting in work.
Yeah. We put in work, and they'd be like, you know.
It is difficult.
We got a game on the road. We're on the bus, and we have a game for like a 7-hour, 8-hour commitment, and they're like, here's your 6-inch sub. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like.
Or forget about the season. Our off season, our training.
We start September
1st. Preseason,
September 1st.
I'm saying the season starts right when we get to campus.
Yeah.
We're playing open gym. We're running hills.
My sophomore year, I'll never forget, I got off the plane in August, and I went straight to pickup. Like, it was like type beat where it's like straight
and
off
then
the plane.
And then with our season's the longest season, so we go till
March.
So think about that. You know, that's a grind, and a little bit of a transition of the topic here, but, like, you know, when you get a job or you're in the real world, it's real shit that this is going to prepare us, like, nothing else, like, it's going to prepare us for the world, like, being an athlete, just from going through, that structured lifestyle where things are not easy physically and mentally, and you just got to push through, and you play for the good times, even though they might not come as much as you want them to, you always play for them, and the same thing's true when we graduate. So.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Speaking of these blessings, one of the things that we do on this podcast is we do a minute mindfulness activity, which is more of just talk about just the things that we're thankful for. Just, it's kind of like pause on life real quick. You just kind of take a step back and look at it. I can start. Three things that I know I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for that I have a loving, supporting family. I wouldn't be able to be in the position I'm in without them. Even just being an athlete or being here in Boston, I mean, the support I get is just unfathomable, and I'm so grateful for it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I've been very grateful for is the classes here at Emerson. It's been very eye-opening. Whether, you know, it gets pretty stressful sometimes, but just knowing that, like, I'm taking courses that I love or stuff that, like, I'm excited to learn about. It's less about the grade and more about, like, what you're getting out of it. So I've taken an entrepreneur class right now, and, like, I've just loved it. I've just loved it. Last thing, man, is I'm thankful for my friends, man. I got a great group of friends that keep me in check and make sure that I'm always doing well. What about you?
Not to copy you, but I'm, like, a big family-oriented person,
so
I have to say my family. My mom, my dad, my two sisters, literally the greatest family I could ever ask for. Next, I would say, back to the faith thing, I thank God for this amazing life that I've gotten to live and that hopefully I get to live for a long time moving forward.
Right.
And then finally, I would just say my team, from my teammates to my coaches to Manny, our manager.
Manny, shout out Manny.
Everybody, man, that's involved with the administration, we could say, part of our team, everybody that makes that tick, makes that work. It's not easy being a Division III team, and you know, you have to sacrifice a lot as a school, and I appreciate everything that our coaches, my teammates, and everybody involved does for us to make our life enjoyable. Imagine, you know, our coaches having a job to make college kids live their dream and be able to play at a high level. So I'm very appreciative to my team.
Well, thank you, Trevor, for being a guest on the podcast today. Thank you, Indeed, for sponsoring us. Stay tuned for episode 2, where we'll be dealing with how to deal with negativity. I got a special guest for you guys there, but just wait. Thank you, Trevor.
Yeah, thanks, Doug.